Is sin a little thing? This and more on We the Exiles.
We will not, build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Well, welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood.
How you doing?
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
This podcast is set up into three parts, and if you have listened to the first two episodes, you are aware of this. But for those who are just joining us maybe for this podcast, this is how things go about in our podcast. We have what we call our appetizer segment, which is the segment we're in now, main dish and dessert. The appetizer is a conversational discussion about our lives and what the Lord is doing in and around us. It can serve as a preface to the main dish. The main dish is the direct focus of the podcast, and this can be a discussion on the current state of Christian culture and sometimes will involve an interview with a special guest. And last is what we call the dessert segment. This is our closing segment in which we will look at God's Word, and sometimes it will be in relation to what we discuss in the main dish, and we'll have a time of devotion.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, we've made it to episode three.
Episode three, we have.
And so that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're learning still. We're getting better as we go.
We've had a lot of encouragement from some of the people that have listened, that are close to us, that have heard it. So it's been encouraging.
Yeah, and we definitely appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for, especially if this is the third episode, if you've listened to the first two and you're still around for this one. Thank you guys for being supporters and believing in what we're doing with this podcast. Well, we hope everyone had a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. And
I know we did, although we didn't really get much rest, I guess, over the weekend. We had to shoot a wedding, didn't we?
We shot a wedding on Saturday. It's actually in Alabama, but closer to Mississippi.
It was like 2 hours from where we live. Went too bad, but for those who maybe haven't listened to the first episode, a little bit about our backstory. We run a company called Revival House, and we shoot a lot of weddings. And so we had a wedding to shoot in Alabama, Livingston, Alabama, actually. And that's where we spent all of our day, out in the sun.
Sometimes I'll do weddings by myself. Cameron does some by himself, but sometimes we'll do them together. So that one was one that we did together, and it was fun.
It was hot. It was the first hot wedding for me of the season.
Yes,
so far.
It was. It was very hot during the day.
And the ceremony and the reception was both outdoors, but hey, it's part of it.
That's right.
It's part of it. We hope you guys had a good Memorial Day weekend, got some rest, maybe ate some good food.
I went on a boat.
That's right.
Yeah. Our father recently purchased a little pontoon boat. It's nice. It's got a nice motor in it, and we went out yesterday, or we're recording this on Memorial Day, but we went out on Sunday with my dad, and we tubed, and it was fun.
You took Coralie with you too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that?
It's good. She actually got in the water for a second, and she liked it a lot.
Really?
It's reservoir water. Those who are in Mississippi know that the reservoir is not the cleanest water, but it was good.
Yeah, I bet our dad was just high on life.
Yeah. It was fun to see him in his boating element.
Yeah, I bet that was a sight to see. I have yet to see that, but I'm looking forward to it. We're taking a family trip, all of us, Chandler's family, mine, and then dad, our stepmom, and then our two, our half-brother and sister, yeah. And Smith Lake, Alabama, which I really like a lot. It's like coming up in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's our Memorial Day was spent shooting weddings, and yeah, we're actually recording this on Memorial Day. Yeah. So decided to spend a Memorial Day trying to track this. We're trying to make Mondays our podcast day because we want to. We have a goal in mind. We want to try to release two podcasts a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and so have this one released obviously Tuesday following Memorial Day, and then so on, so forth. But
yeah, we want to, like you said, we're going to try to record two on Monday, which is a feat. But we enjoy it; it's fun. It doesn't feel like we're, you know, it doesn't feel like work. It feels because we enjoy doing this. This is like
right. This is in our element. This is part of being creative and getting to create things. And
but we're actually only recording one today. It was kind of hard to get someone to do an interview.
Yeah, we're trying
for our interview segment, which I don't know. Did you explain that we're going to try to do?
Yeah, so Thursdays, we're always going to kind of follow our format, which is, you know, appetizer, main dish, and the dessert segment. But Thursdays, we want to try to incorporate an interview with a special guest, someone who maybe that we know personally or not, that we can have discussions on Christian culture or about their lives, dealing with real issues about what it's like being a Christian and we're trying to do it in such a way where we're not sugarcoating anything, right? It's all about trying to be as real as possible, and that includes talking about the hard stuff. You know, for instance, we may talk about suffering or suffering in the context that as Christians, we just because we're in Christ doesn't mean life's not hard, you know, and discussions surrounding those type of things too. So if you're out there and you're listening and you are interested in even being a special guest on the show, reach out to us. You can find information on wetheexiles.com, our website, as well as social media link to Seeker and Servant. And again, just to, I guess, transition to that too, this podcast, you know, we everything that we've done so far has been mostly from our pockets. We have a Patreon page, which we're trying to use as the way in which we I guess use the support from that to support this podcast as well as other things we're doing with Seeker and Servant, which is the band Chandler and I are in. And we would love if you are interested, if you like this podcast, if you've been carrying on, you've been thinking about supporting us, you know, we would love if you could. It would be a great support system for us. Patreon is the best way to do it because it's a monthly giving system. So it's a way that we kind of can see and know exactly what we have to work with.
Right.
And it just helps keep things consistent because we have so much other things going on. We kind of forget sometimes.
Right. And we are going to create a Twitter page.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet.
To kind of have more discussion, just easier to communicate with our listeners.
Yeah, because we want you to be involved. So along with this, our hope for future episodes as we get deeper into the podcast is to have discussion based around what you guys maybe want us to talk about as well, even answer questions on the air that can relate to the things we've discussed. We also want feedback, so that we're hoping that Twitter will be a great way to facilitate the feedback and maybe question and answers and just way for you guys to get involved. Again, we want you guys to be involved. This isn't just a Cameron Chandler Wood podcast,
right?
This is about everyone who's listening, and so we want to create discussion. That's the whole point of it. So yeah, get involved. Hit us up again. WeTheExiles.com is a great way to find resources that we talk about in the podcast. Social media right now through Seeker and Servant, and then eventually we will have a WeTheExiles Twitter page. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But we're glad that you guys are listening. We have a good show today. We're going to be talking about something that every Christian knows and deals with, but we tend to shrug it off at times and don't take it as seriously as we should, and that is the topic of sin. So we're excited for you guys to be here, and we're going to head on to a break, and then we'll get into our main dish segment.
Order up!
The main dish!
That's right. It's time for our main dish segment. The primary or direct focus of what we discuss in this podcast. And I have a question.
What's the question?
What is sin?
Sin is rejecting or ignoring God and the world he created, rebelling against him by living without reference to him, not being or doing what he requires in his law, resulting in our own death and the disintegration of all creations. All creation, sorry. I was reading that off of the New City Catechism.
I ask this question because today we're going to talk about sin, and more so on the lightheartedness that we, as well as the majority of our culture, takes on the matter of sin. In fact, the question is sin a little thing? Charles Spurgeon puts it like this. He put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head and pierced his heart. It made him suffer anguish, bitterness, and woe. If you could weigh the least sin in the scales of eternity, you would run from it as a serpent and abhor the slightest appearance of evil. Look upon all sin as that which crucified the Savior. So I ask again, is sin a little thing? And, well,
the answer is no.
Yeah, it's not, is it? No matter what sin it is sin, and no matter what sin it is, it's not little, right?
Sin is as a Christian, it's the most serious thing to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean,
our faith all starts with understanding what sin is.
Right.
Because we know sin as Christians to be the very thing that separates us from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so without a knowledge or understanding of what sin is, then we really don't have an understanding for why we need Christ.
Absolutely. Right?
And that starts with, well, we get an understanding for what sin is by looking at God's law. And we know this. If you've grown up in church or you've been around it, you understand that. Most people know God's law to be by the Ten Commandments. That's the easiest way to look at God's law. Though there are other instructions from the Lord throughout all of Scripture, this is the easiest way to look at it. Because even just comparing ourselves to those ten, we already see how broken and how depraved we are.
Yeah.
In light of that. And we have to start there. We have to start there because we have to see ourselves in light of how holy God is.
Yeah.
You know. And
we are depraved until Christ saves us. We're born into sin because of Adam. We are depraved, heading to hell unless Christ intervenes and saves us.
Right. And knowing sin and the weightiness of sin all begins with who we are and our fallen nature, and that starts also with the beginning of all creation. You know, if we start and we look back at the beginning of creation with the creation of the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, you know, we have Adam and Eve in the garden, God putting them in the Garden of Eden. This is in chapters 2 and 3 of Genesis. And we have them put in ultimate perfection, you know, Eden. This is what all of us would want and desire in our hearts, complete perfection, right? And God set Adam and Eve in the garden, told them that they could partake from anything in the garden, from any tree except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, of course, if you know the Bible story, you know that, well, they sinned against God. They took from that tree from which they weren't because they were tempted by the serpent. Started with that Eve, and then Eve told her husband Adam, and of course they sinned. And because of their sin, guess what? We all have sin. So, you know, when we talk about sin and we talk about what sin is, we have to realize that them being the first man and woman, right, means that everybody who's come since then, the entire population of the world is from the seed of Adam, mm-hmm. which means we are all born with a sin nature. We sin because we are sinful, right? Right. Our sin doesn't make us necessarily sinful from the fact that we sin. No, we are sinful because we have a sinful nature in us. That is our innate desire, is to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's a problem because sin separates you from God. Sin makes you an enemy of God,
yeah.
And there's, you know, when just left to sin, then.
And as Christians, that should be our ultimate desire, to be close with Christ. He changes our heart's desires. He sanctifies us when we become
Right.
When we are brought from death to life by his blood right. and grace, we should desire that. What we see promoted in a lot of the Christian culture is just it's a watering down of what you know. It's like, well, you know, we talk about this a lot, but when you look at a lot of Christian culture, what you see is I'm saved and I go and live my life, everything's good, you know.
Right.
Oh, you know, let's not talk about this. Let's not get there. Let's not go to those weighty.
Right. Well, it's like from that first little sermon jam we showed of in the very first episode, you know, your affections for these things stay where they are. There's no heart change there.
And I think I've seen this in sermons and stuff of like popular mainstay big Christian churches or whatever. I've seen sin mocked.
Right.
You know, they laugh it off. A lot of things that God would hate becomes a joke. And that's how a lot of our culture lives.
Right.
A lot of Christian culture lives too.
Right. And so the perspective, I guess, that we're talking about sin, you know, when it comes to Christian life, it's so important, like we've talked about, to get the definitions on things right. Right. And we understand sin. I mean, if you've had any presentation of the gospel, you've at least heard the mentioning of sin. If you've grown up in the Bible Belt, or at least in American culture, you know the idea or what sin is. But for us, I guess the bigger thing is that whole question, is sin a little thing? It's the weightiness of sin that we're looking at and discussing. Because when it comes to understanding and truly believing what Christ has done on behalf of on our behalf because of sin, then it really isn't a little thing. But yet, time after time, either A, sin goes undiscussed in a lot of sermons, mm-hmm. or when sin is discussed, it's done so in such a passing way that there's no conviction and there's no, there's no push for repentance,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, understanding sin and understanding what Christ has done for our sin is what leads to repentance.
Yeah.
So, sin should really be a mainstay discussion in all sermons, and I mean, for the most part, in all churches.
Yeah.
Because in this Christian life, we are supposed to be fighting our sin, because we're supposed to be warring with the flesh that we have, because we understand and know that if you are saved, if you're a Christian, you still live in fleshly bodies.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Well, now that you're a Christian, you have a new creation. You've been brought to newness of life. Right? This newness of life in you by Christ now is waging war with your old man self.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a problem, and that creates tension within your life, the Christian life and the worldly life, and that in return is going to result in you fighting your sin. If there's no conviction there, if there's no continual fight for sin, then a good question would be like, well, have you truly repented?
Yeah.
Are you truly desiring Christ? Because you're going to hate sin.
Mm-hmm.
You may throughout the course of your life, through the process of sanctification, you may not. There may be certain sins that God reveals to you through your growing relationship with Him over time. But the truth is, you will never understand your sin or be made to know certain sins in your life and be like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Christ died for that for me, yeah. So I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all good.
Yeah. It's a good self-examining, you know, to ask yourself, you know, what do you desire? Look at your heart. What are you desiring? Is it to be closer to Christ, or is it to tag Christ along, but still have every fleshly desire that you had before you were saved,
right.
still lived out in your life? In 2011, Cameron and I got tattoos on our wrist that say "Make War," and it has Romans 6 under it.
And we're not condoning necessarily tattoos by saying that. I mean, there are different point of views. We don't necessarily think they're sinful.
No,
I mean, but
I think if I could go back now, I probably wouldn't.
But the point is that this period of time in our life, we were really, God had laid it heavily on our hearts on this idea of fighting our sin,
right,
and hating our sin.
So we were doing a church camp, and we were just fired up And Cameron and I, we share our struggles. We're brothers, and we hold each other accountable in a lot of ways. And so we're aware of each other's sins, and we have a lot of the same sin patterns. And that's just something that we just wanted to rally in, and we got it as just kind of a bonding thing too. But at the time, Tadashi, Christian rapper at the time, had a song out called "Make War." And it included a clip from this little sermon clip that we're about to play for you now. But it's kind of what spurred us on into, like, man, we need to be making all out war with our right. sin.
This idea that sin exists in this world, and that sin is this thing that keeps us from God, and that sin, you know, is the ultimate reason for why Christ came to save us from, or understanding that true salvation is through Christ because of our sin. It's more about the idea that if you are in Christ, you better be fighting your sin.
Yeah.
You better be fighting your sin. Because John Owen said it best, right? He said, you better get to the business of killing sin, or it'll kill you.
Yeah. I have the quote here. It says, "Do you mortify? Do you make it your daily work? Be always at it whilst you live. Seize not a day from this work. Be killing sin, or it will be killing you."
And that's so true. We understand that works is not what saves us as Christians, but with a new renewed heart in Christ, your new attitude is now to hate sin, not
and
to love it.
You can't think lightly about it.
You can't. You just cannot think lightly. So we're going to play this clip. This clip really was, I guess, the spearhead for us and the passion for us for viewing sin in this particular way and understanding that as Christians, we need to get to the business of fighting our sin.
The only possible attitude toward out-of-control desire is a declaration of all-out war. I hear so many Christians murmuring about their imperfections and their failures and their addictions and their shortcomings, and I see so little war. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Why am I this way? Make war! If you wonder how to make war, go to the manual. Don't just bellyache about your failures. Make war. He says, I'm continuing the quote, "There is something about war that sharpens the senses. You hear a twig snap or rustling of the leaves and you are in attack mode. Someone coughs and you are ready to pull the trigger. Even after days of little or no sleep, war keeps us vigilant. There is a mean, violent streak to the true Christian life. But now let's very carefully ask, violence against whom? Or what? Not other people. Not other people. Not other people. Not Muslims. Not Hindus. Not Buddhists. Not atheists, not secularists, not nominal Christians, not wives or husband or children or ordinary bosses, but on every impulse in our soul to be violent to other people. Violence, a mean streak in Christianity against our own selves, and all in us that would make peace with sin and a settling in peacetime mindset. We make war on that in us. It's a violence against all lust in ourselves, all enslaving desires for food, caffeine, sugar, chocolate, alcohol, pornography, money, the praise of man, approval of others, power, fame. This is our enemy. This is where we make war. It is a violence against all racism in our souls, all sluggish indifference to injustice in our souls, a violence against all indifference to poverty and indifference to abortion in our souls. Did you know that in the warfare of Romans, Satan doesn't show up until chapter 16. We tend to think of spiritual warfare as this little thing where you find some way to pray or some way to lay hands on or some way to do a Satan thing. Well, that's important. Believe me, that's important. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world rulers of this present darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's important. But you know what? It's not nearly as important as this. Because the only foothold Satan has in your life is your flesh and your sin. Nobody goes to hell because of Satan. The only reason we go to hell is sin. Much more important than fighting Satan is fighting sin. This warfare in verse 13 is vastly more important than figuring Satan out. Get that? My biggest enemy is not Satan. My biggest enemy is John Piper. Fallen, fleshly, rebellious, hostile, selfish, lusting, power-grabbing, fame-loving John Piper is my biggest enemy, and he's the only reason I'll go to hell, not Satan. Satan, you don't have nearly that kind of power. And therefore, I really care about us learning how to do this battle. Christianity is not a settle in, live at peace with the world the way it is religion. Like most Christians live their daily lives. Verse 13. If by the Spirit you kill. There's a mean streak in Christianity, and it's not against anybody else but ourselves. In fact, it's against the meanness of ourselves against other people. If you feel like you're a mean person against others, a harsh person, a critical person, you know your problem? You haven't learned to make war. You haven't learned to be mean. You haven't learned to get violent against your violence, against your meanness, against your critical spirit. And you complain of it, talk about it. But have you made war 24/7 against it?
Hey, are you enjoying this podcast? Would you like to see it continue? We the Exiles podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Become an exile today by supporting us through Patreon. With as little as a dollar a month, you can support this podcast in the ministry of Seeker and Servant by heading over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. Again, that's Patreon, patreon.com/seekerandservant.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Are you getting violent with your sin? I guess that's a good question. I was thinking about what he was saying, and I think I've heard that clip a lot over the years. It's a good thing to listen to throughout, I guess, your Christian life. Mm-hmm. But one thing for me, the problem is Cameron Wood, mm-hmm. You know, or Chandler Wood.
Yeah. You know?
In our day and age, in our culture, we're pretty good. We're entitled. I mean, we live in an entitled culture. I mean, we're entitled anyway because sin makes us entitled. But a lot of my life, I've been good at blaming other things on other people, including my sin, or making excuses for who I am and realizing that the issue at heart is my heart, and that begins with sin.
Right.
And so it's just a great reminder that we should be fighting sin.
Yeah, it's being humbled by the work of Christ. It's seeing yourself in light of a holy God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got, like I said, we got those tattoos on our wrist, and you know, and in thinking that, you know, when we got those, even that thought was like, you know, this is going to be such a good reminder, and in my mind, I was thinking this is going to help me so much fight my sin. And you know, years go by, and some of the sins that I was struggling with,
still fighting,
was, you know, still present in my life, and yeah. And it's because we try all these methods, we try all these things, not necessarily that was a method, but we like to think of things outside of what God has given us. And Piper said it in that is, you want to make war, you go to the manual, which is Scripture, which breathes out Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the only way that we can fight our sin.
Mm-hmm.
He died for our sin.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to destroy it.
Yeah.
He's ultimately destroyed it,
yeah,
for us as believers.
Well, it's a good point too, you know, because we're fired up, we get that tattoo on our arms, and we think somehow, like in a way, we're saying, this is going to aid me, because somehow having this written on my wrist is going to, oh, I'm going to see that when I'm caught in dead heat of temptation and being pushed to my sin. Oh, this is going to save me.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget, you know. We have power given to us by Christ. We have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, I ask myself that, how many times whenever I am faced with sin, do I really fight it, or do I just say to myself that, I tried enough,
mm-hmm,
and then I go on and I bask in my sin?
Yeah, and that's the question, is how long are we sitting there, you know, fighting it? For some, you know, personally, Cameron and I, you know, and most guys, you know, lust,
it's a big, it's a big,
or
one,
the sin of pornography, is, you know, there's a picture there of like, okay, you have this intensity come upon you, and you're, you know, you're wanting to indulge in sin, you're wanting to lust, you're wanting to, you know, go there. You recognize it as sin. It's like a lion, you know, ready to attack you. In that moment, are we really sitting and really warring with those thoughts, or are we letting them take us away? Are we going to truth? And a lot of the times in my failure, the answer is no.
Yeah, I mean, how many times when those things happen do we actually go to the Lord in prayer, or go to His Word and seek Him? Or even in some instances, I mean, Paul talks about sexual, especially in relations to sexual morality, to run,
yeah,
to flee that,
yeah,
sin. How many of us are caught in that situation? I mean, there have been times in my life, and this is honest truth, where I just think, if I get up right now and I just run as hard and as fast as I can down the road just to get away from the thoughts that are brooding over my mind right now, that'll help, you know, get my mind off of this sexual sin. Just doing things to protect us or to get us out of those situations, but here's the thing. The truth of the matter is, in my heart, is that if I were honest with myself, is that I want that pleasure over Christ.
Right. And that's what I was about to say. It's a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have faith that Christ is so much better than that little fleeting pleasure? Even when we are so consumed with a thought of it and we want it so badly, do we have faith that God's promises for us are way better, and let that motivate us? And a lot of times it's because we're not leaning on Christ. A lot of times it's what we're filling our minds with on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're not in the Word of God daily, if we're not waking up with a mindset to destroy our sin and slaughter our sin before we even get out of bed, and if we're just letting anything worldly just come in front of our eyes, our ears, it's going to be that much harder to fight off sin when it comes, because we haven't set up for battle.
We haven't prepared ourselves.
We're not equipped.
I mean, if we're not, you know, make no provision for the flesh, well, that includes, well, not only setting up strongholds to keep yourself from falling into sin, but part of that is also training your mind, you know, how to battle that sin. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if we're studying God's word, if we're filling our mind with his truth, right? And working towards that in our life. But the truth of it is, how many of us really do that? I mean, that's one of the things for me too, is that we talk a lot, even in Reformed circles, I'll just be honest with it. We talk a lot about doctrine and theology, and we talk a lot about truth. We talk a lot about sin. We talk a lot about these things, and we could go head to toe with you when it comes to doctrine and theology. But practicing it, putting those things into practice that we say we so strongly believe in, we believe in the freedom that we have been given in Christ. The greatest freedom we've been given in Christ is no longer being a slave to sin.
Yeah.
And just believing it, not just talking about it and just reiterating the same fact over and over again, but putting to test the power, the new power which we've been given by Christ.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, with this and everything that we're saying, again, we understand that works don't save us. Our point with all this is saying that if we are Christians and we haven't been made new with Christ, right, believing in that work he's done, being reminded that he has won that victory for us. He has put to death the sting of death. Mm-hmm. He has paid it all for us, right? And believing in that in such a way, in such a fact that leads us to repentance, that pushes us in our desire to kill our flesh. Mm-hmm. And kill. That's what we're saying. The work isn't before that. The work comes after being made new in Christ. The work is that I don't want to do this because I want to be made right for God. I want to do this because I love God and I want to please God and I don't want to sin against him anymore. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's who I don't want to sin against.
And the rewards are so much greater. In the times of my life when I've really tried to apply, you know, these things, and I've, you know, I was in the Word daily, and I was had that on the forefront of my mind when I went out of the house, or I was whatever I was doing, and I had Christ on my mind, and I was wanting to put to death my flesh. In those times that I would walk away and have clearly in my mind that I was going to choose Christ because he's better, despite in that moment what my flesh wanted, the rewards are way better because he fills me more with himself. Mm-hmm. And I start to grow my love for him and my sensitivity to sin.
Yeah.
Which I hate when I see in myself, you know, a numbness to sin. Mm-hmm. I hate that. When I accept things that what the world loves and God hates, and I see that in myself, it's disgusting.
And it's going to happen. You keep basking in your sin, your heart will grow hard to that sin. And if you are in Christ, that's like a death blow. That's a death blow. It's a heart aching, heart wrenching thing. That is a godly sorrow, which we should have. Mm-hmm. You know, our hurt and our disgust over our sin against the holy God. You know, that's what we have. Back in, a few years ago at a conference, it's a popular conference called Together for the Gospel. Happens every other year. They always show a clip or something from a prominent pastor, sometimes older guys from way back when. But one who's not so old, he passed away a few years ago, I believe in 2009. His name was D.J. Ward. I heard about him when I was becoming kind of hungry for God's word and understanding theology better and getting to know who God was, I came across D.J. Ward. You can find his sermons on YouTube. A lot of them are poor quality, but it doesn't matter. It's what he's saying and how he's preaching that is awesome. And in this clip that we're going to play for you, really sums up the answer that we're wanting to get across from all this, talking about sin. And reminding you too, Chandler and I, we're not theologians, right? We're not very well trained. We didn't go to seminary. We don't have all this background in teaching. We're trying to be honest and real and to show you that these things and the understanding these truths and knowledge and stuff doesn't have to come from that realm. It can come from your own study and your own love and devotion for the Lord, but that only comes when your focus and attention is on Christ. And when it comes to sin and understanding sin and being reminded of sin, the battle and winning that battle and the answer is being reminded of the grace, the glorious grace that we have received from Christ and the work that he did for us on the cross.
Yes. Praise God for Christ and our salvation. And be encouraged that if you are a Christian, you will reach the end. And through Christ alone, you will fight your sin and he will sanctify you. Be encouraged by this clip as we end out this segment.
I contend this morning that the death of Christ was not an attempt. It was an accomplishment.
Amen.
Now, brothers and sisters, when one accomplishes something, it means somewhere they had to have an assignment. Well, what was the assignment? His name shall be called Jesus. For he shall save, not attempt to save, not try to save, not hope to save, not want to save, but he shall save his people from their sin. Is that right? I said, is that right? Now I hear this. I hear this. I hear it on televisions. I hear it in churches. That God has done all he can do. The rest is up to you. If the rest is up to you, then he didn't accomplish it. If anything is up to you, he didn't accomplish it. I've even heard this. You've got to help God save you. He can't do it by himself. If God cannot do it by himself, then he didn't accomplish it. He's a false God. He's a liar. And you best not trust him. If he didn't do it, then we ought to stop singing, Jesus paid it all. Saying he paid some of it. Now, brothers and sisters, if he did not accomplish it, we are here in vain. And you can have all of the religion you want. If this was not accomplished, we're going to hell. It's just that blunt, it's just that simple, it's just that clear. But if he did do it, he doesn't need your best, and your works need not speak for you. If he did do it, you can leave here rejoicing that your sins are now under the blood. And he stands as your substitute, your mediator before God this morning. Pleading the blood. Pleading his blood. That perfect sacrifice, that holy atonement. He's pleading the blood. You can rest. That all of my sins are under that blood. Did he accomplish it? Did he fail? Do we need Mohammed to come after him? Do we need another prophet after him? I declare this morning, he paid it all. He paid it all. Every drop of it, every sin I was going to commit, every sin I thought about committing, he nailed it to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul.
Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP.
Lord, kill my pride. Help me leave behind.
Including the single Fear Missing Out, as well as three brand new tracks. Releasing June 7th, wherever digital music is heard or sold. Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's
time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
Time for dessert, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that clip is powerful. Christ paid it all. And as Christians, that, you know, We worship a holy God who paid for the filth that we are. But this, that shouldn't be a statement of praise God and then continue on in your flesh. It should be praise God, and that makes us want to worship him in our works and our...
Right, and I think the passage we're going to read from is exemplifies that. Because it shows the difference between a new creation, a new life in Christ versus a fleshly one.
Romans 8.
Yeah, Romans 8. And real quick before we jump in, I think it's important to clarify too. The reason that we're so, and it's so hard because I could talk 2 hours, 3 hours on this. But the reason that I'm so passionate about it is because just listen to that and how passionate he was about that. This man, our Savior, God, Christ, Jesus, died for us even though we would continue to sin, meaning that as long as we're in fleshly bodies, you know, he died for us. And God doesn't have to do that. We have this entitlement problem, a lot of churches, where everything's made about us and we feel like, well, it's only right that God would save us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not it at all. No, God has every right not to save us, but he did through Christ, through the work Christ has done.
Amen.
That should drive us from our sin. If we've been made new through Christ, may we fight sin. May we fight sin because he has paid it all for us. So yeah, Romans 8 is going to be where we're going to be for our passage today. This is a popular, we're not going to read the whole chapter. There's so much in this chapter. But this is like the cornerstone chapter for most of the Christian life. This is, in fact, I'm reading from a Charles Spurgeon Study Bible. He actually calls this is the cream of Holy Scripture. And it is, but a lot of times, again, we take it lightly because we think, oh, there's no condemnation, which we're about to read. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Great, great, great. And we just carry that on, and we tap that on to our lives, and we feel good about ourselves because there's no condemnation in Christ. But we forget. That there's so much more that we need to learn and we need to grasp, that we need to grow in our Christian life. Praise the Lord that there isn't, but also understanding, just like everything we've been talking about, that though there is no condemnation in Christ, now that we're going to read that we're co-heirs with Christ, there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And being this podcast, we being exiles in this world, there better be a difference.
We want to walk. We want to walk with Christ and delight in the things he says to delight in and run away from the things that he says are evil.
Right. All right. So it says, picking up in chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirements would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now, the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with one Spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him.
Praise God.
Praise God. So there's a difference there. Flesh and spirit, we see it. We see the difference there. And we see it's because of the work that Christ did that sets your flesh now against your flesh, because you have a new spirit. And it's only through what Christ has done. It's only through what Christ has done. I love this here. This is in 7. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Mm-hmm. That whole thing is a summary, because what it's saying is that you're not going to want to submit to God's law. Mm-hmm. If you're a sinful human being, if you're lost, you have no other option because of your sin neighbor but to sin, just to obey God. And it's hostile to God.
And you can't see.
You can't.
You can't see what Christ has done in such a light that, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, it says it is unable to do so. Your mind is unable to do it. Mm-hmm. You cannot will yourself enough rightness to make yourself so good before a holy God. You just can't do it. And your innate nature is to sin against God.
Praise God if he has opened your eyes. And specifically for those that are listening to this podcast, you know, praise God if he's opened your eyes to his truth, that you can understand it, and he has brought you to salvation. As saved believers, we still will struggle with our flesh. We still are going to want the things of the flesh at times, especially if we're filling our lives, you know, with things that are not of God. Christ is the answer.
Yeah.
Turn your eyes back to Christ. See the work that he's accomplished, and this in itself will drive you and make you want to run from your sin.
And a good question to ask too, because all of this, we're supposed to be daily examining ourselves in life scripture to see if we're of faith. I mean, it's good for us to do that. It's good for us to do that because we need to know, again, why we believe what we believe. We also need to see ourselves, make sure that, hey, am I really even saved? Because especially in the culture we live in, the Christian culture for so long has been decisionism, and it can create this false assurance for a lot of people that they're saved because Jim Bob said I was. Mm-hmm. Or
Jim they went down an aisle and prayed a prayer.
Yeah, or all these things, and this is dangerous. This can create a dangerous false assurance in people when they're not really saved, yeah. You know. And this is what it's saying. This is why we're reading these things and talking about these things, because we're looking at our lives in light of what Scripture really says a Christian looks like or who a Christian should be. And just like it says at the end, it says, "If brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh." So what that means is that we no longer have an obligation, and that is because of Christ. So I guess a good question would be like, do you see more of yourself drawn to your pleasure in sin and your continual basking in sin without a godly sorrow to follow if you do sin?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see, if you look at your life, let's say you were saved, quote unquote, 7 years old, 9 years old, whatever. From that period to now, if you were to actually look at your life, do you see a growth in your hatred of your sin?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a growth in the Spirit within you? Do you see your sanctification through the work Holy Spirit's doing in you to grow you to be more like an heir of Christ, an imitator of Christ? Or do you see yourself unchanged at all? Right. Still loving the world the same way, still giving yourself so freely without ever any hesitation or battle of conscience or a battle within you to just freely give over to what the world loves. And if that's the case, we ask, we beg with you, we implore you like Paul does, repent of your sin, turn to Christ. He's the only way you'll be saved. And if you are a Christian and you're hearing this, be encouraged. That Christ has paid it all, and because he has paid it all, you can fight your sin.
Be killing sin, or it will be killing you. We are the exiles. Until next time, set your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight. We'll see you next time.